Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Today we are going to take a look at the transiting moon through the 12 houses of life. I actually find myself doing something strange when I'm with women. I always check to see what house the moon is transiting through. It's funny how women particularly are so predictable because they are so emotional and much more moodier than men, in my opinion. Let's say if a woman has her transiting moon going through her first house, she's going to be filled with energy, you know, and focused on life and happiness and fun and excitement. And as the moon moves through the houses, there's all types of little tricks you can find out. Like one person might want to be, you know, wonder, well, when is my girlfriend going to be her sexiest or in the mood passionately? Well, the moon goes into the eighth house once a month for 2.5 days. Usually mating season starts for women about then if it hasn't lasted the rest of the month. And we also follow the movement of all the planets through the 12 houses of life as they course through. The moon acts as a trigger. It serves as a trigger to set off other transits in the chart. So a very interesting topic, and if you want to understand how the cycles and the rhythm of astrology works, then today is a show for you to listen to and record. And as part of today's show, really, I want to give you the feel of what your 12 houses are more than anything. And for those of you that haven't ordered your charts yet, I feel sorry for you. Yeah, because for this topic, you're going to really blow it, especially you Leos with Libra risings out there. Anyway, but actually, what you need to do is you need to take a look at your chart, if you have it in front of you, your astroscope, and there's only one thing you need to know to follow this topic, and that is the location of your rising sign. So let's all look over. We know the difference between the right and the left, right? Okay, some of us, except for extraterrestrials and those with more than 3 watches on our wrists. Just look over to the far left edge, the far left edge of your wheel, and right in the middle where the 9 would be. Like, imagine it was a clock. Go right where the 9 would be, and there should be some numbers and some letters at the end of a trail of asterisks that cut that wheel in half. And like mine says, 20LI17. And that's my rising. It's 20 Libra 17. That's the code. 20 is the degree of rising, because there's 30 degrees in each sign, or we divide each sign by 30. And 17 minutes is the minute, the 17th minute of the 20th degree is my rising sign. Now, once you know your rising sign, then you'll be able to start understanding how your 12 houses work and where they're located. If you look at that wheel, you'll notice it looks like a pie. And starting from that line of rising, those asterisks, because that's what we call that line, those asterisks that lead to where the 9 would be, is actually a laser beam that would go to the eastern horizon where the sun would normally rise. Now, the reason why this part of the chart is more important than any other part of the chart is because the Earth is spinning very rapidly. The Earth is spinning very quickly in the eastern direction. Now, I want you to know something. It takes the Earth only 24 hours to rotate one time, which is quick. This is a big planet, folks, and for us to go around one whole spin in a 24-hour period, we are cooking. We are really moving. This planet is moving very quickly. So for anything to enter the Earth, especially when it's going multiple times the speed of light, if you want to pinpoint a certain area on this planet, a certain city, you must enter the atmosphere from the east. And that's why the astral body, it's like being anchored to a baby that is being born in Milwaukee. And you are outside of this realm, and you are coming into this realm onto a planet that's spinning towards the east. So your soul, part of your astral self, is anchored to that baby. And when you come in and make that signature, when the baby comes out and starts breathing, the last thing you see is the eastern side of the universe. You come beelining in from the eastern universe. So that is the rising sign, and that really is the cusp of the first house. And if we go counterclockwise from that point, if you found your rising sign and you number those little pieces of pie, those 12 equal pieces of pie, you can number them 1 through 12 right now. You can take a pen and number the bottom six slices counterclockwise, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then the top six slices, you can mark 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Now, those are called the 12 houses of life. And there are 360 different personality types in astrology, which means 12 signs times 30 degrees in each sign equals 360 possible personality types that a soul can choose at birth. And frankly, the personality changes every second, because not only are there minutes in a degree, there are also seconds in a degree. So you really get finicky when you talk about twins. If twins are revived within seconds of each other, then their rising sign is going to be off a few seconds. And astrologers that are real surgical like to really tear the personalities apart by degree, by minute, and then by second. You know, so it really does get intense. But for our purposes today, there are 360 basic personality types from the 360 individual degrees of astrology. Now also, when we talk about house systems, which is what we're talking today, I want you to know that I am an equal house astrologer. And even though our little study guide in our astroscopes actually talks about Placidus house systems, which is the most popular and most accepted astrology, all of our charts are done in equal house unless people request or require another house system. But because we were never able to change that study guide because it's copyrighted, it explains the charts in Placidus houses, which is just a little different than equal house. Now, I'll tell you the difference. Equal houses mean that each house in the chart is exactly the same size, always 30 degrees each. And that makes it simple. That makes it easy. And we call equal house astrology is also psychic eye astrology, because a good astrologer who studies and follows equal house can hear the rising degree and focus on any house cusp immediately. Like if you're Libra 20 rising like me, then we count down to the fifth house, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn, Aquarius, to Aquarius 20, you know, because it goes 20, 20, 20, 20 all the way around and equal. So it's easy for me to know that my fifth house is 20 Aquarius, and my sixth house is 20 Pisces, and my seventh house cusp is 20 Aries, and my eighth house is 20 Taurus, and my midheaven or my tenth house cusp would be 20 Cancer. So equal house astrology is easier, and also it's easier for people that channel when they do astrology like I do to see a chart in the mind's eye. People wonder, how does he do that so fast? Because someone says they're one Cancer rising and it clicks into my mind. I can see the chart, and that's why it works. And also because when I went to the Academy of Atlantis in the 70s under Dana Marshall and took her astrology courses, because she was a graphic artist who channeled some awesome information, thousands and thousands of pages of information that is presented to you every day on the Astrology Hour, even now. This show is the legacy of the Academy of Atlantis, so don't ask me where it is, because this is it. And Dana Marshall channeled the astrology information for us, and when she did that, we found out that on Atlantis, what was widely used throughout the history of Atlantis was equal house astrology. That's why that's what I teach. I teach Atlantean tropical astrology on this show. Now, for other people will be into Koch and Placidus and Regiomontanus and other house systems, but they really are not anywhere near equal house, because what you get is you get a bunch of distorted sizes. Like one house can be 40 degrees, another house might be 60, another one could be 20, or one house could actually engulf two signs, which is what we call an intercepted house, because it has a sign that's missing. But for today's show, to be simple, we're going to talk about equal house astrology because it's easy and because that's what I teach. Now, once you've identified where your 12 houses are, and understanding one thing for sure, what each house means, is the whole purpose to trying to teach you this topic. Because if you can memorize what each house means, and then after a while start to follow where I announce the moon, like I announced the moon in Capricorn today. One Capricorn. Where's that at? Well, it's in my third house. Most Libra risings, Libra's first house, Scorpio's second house, Sag's third house, and Capricorn is fourth house. That would be if you're a zero Libra rising. I'm 20 Libra rising. See, unless you're zero rising in your sign, each house is going to engulf two signs. So each house, the reason why we're so unique is because we have a unique combination of energies in each of our houses. Like Farley, 20 Libra. Well, my first house of myself, my appearance, my character, my personality, has the last 10 degrees of Libra and the first 19 degrees of Scorpio. Hence the sexual overtone of my discussions, because my personality is Libra rising with a Scorpio injection in that first house. See how it works? So each house, unless you are a zero rising, which is very rare, is going to have a combination of two energies. And because astrology is a science of combinations, by combining the meaning of the house with the two signs that are in it, then you'll start to understand how and why you view life the way you do. Let me repeat that. When you know what the house means, first of all, and then the combination of the two zodiacal energies in that house, unless you're zero rising, then you're going to start to understand how you view life. Because the 12 houses of life explain to us how the individual person views this dimension. All right? Now, obviously, when planets are moving through the universe, through the sky, they're moving through the 12 signs, and they're also moving through your 12 houses. And because your cells, your cosmic cells, are literally injected with miniature solar systems, miniature universes, each one of your cells not only has a DNA imprint, but it also has an interdimensional circuit in each and every one of your cells that reflects the state of this dimension at your birth. That's how astrology works. Remember the saying, as above, so below? When that baby inhales that first breath and becomes unique and separate from the mother, no longer one with the mother or one with the universe, but all alone, then the energy vehicle it is inhabiting, the host body, is charged by the universe at birth. So every one of your cells is one with the universe at the moment of your birth. And that's whole the philosophy of the God part of astrology, one with God, one with the universe. That's why you feel the planets. When they're moving through the sky, they're setting off this universe inside you, because you are the universe. You are a picture of the third dimension the moment you take that first breath. And that's why following planets as they move through the sky, then you'll start to understand why they affect your life the way they do. Because these little solar systems in your chart, in your cells, are being triggered by the movement of the planets. That's why when there's a Scorpio moon, I know it. No one has to say, hey, Farley, moon's in Scorpio. I go, you don't have to tell me that, buddy. I woke up this morning on the wrong side of the bed. I know where the moon is. But anyway, also, first of all, let's take a look at what each house means as far as what the moon might trigger. Knowing what your rising sign is and knowing what the two energies in each house would mean, you combine that. So obviously, whenever the moon goes into my first house, I'm real enthusiastic. I'm Libra. I'm a Libra. You know, that's the whole point. You become each one of the 12 signs as the moon goes through your 12 houses. So when the moon enters Libra 20, I'm a Libra, man. I'm into balance, and I'm into talking and romance and partners and business and marriage. You know, that's when I might propose. My moon was in Libra in my first house. And when it goes into Scorpio, I'm a sexy guy because it's still in my first house. I may feel like belly dancing or something, you know, like that, or just dancing or whatever. All first house matters for anyone would be focused on the appearance, on your basic life enthusiasm, on your character, on your personality, on your identity, your hair, your makeup, your nails. That's oftentimes when women, they haven't done their hair or their nails or gotten their self redone for a month, and the moon shoots into their first house, and they're like, I gotta go to the beauty parlor. This is enough here. I can't handle this. So that's when you start your diet. That's when you decide to work out. That's when you start pinching your stomach to see how much fat you have there. So the first house, when you follow this stuff, and if you really want to follow it good, what you'll do is you'll make a copy of the front page of your astroscope, the wheel, about 300 copies, and every day when I announce the planets, you'll put the moon in. So you can visually see what the moon is doing, and at the bottom where it says abbreviations, you can actually put a piece of lined paper there so you can keep a diary in a book, a lunar diary. so you can learn what the moon is doing to your life on a day-to-day basis. I announced the moon was one Capricorn. Well, if you knew where one Capricorn was in your chart, you could put it in. You could shade in 12 degrees from one Capricorn at 12 noon to about 13 Capricorn tomorrow at 12 noon, because the moon moves 12 degrees a day. It takes 2.5 days to go 30 degrees or one full sign. So the moon stays in one house of your life for 2.5 days, for 60 hours approximately. And if you were able to follow this, then you'd say, wow, not only do I have the moon in my third house today, but Saturn and Uranus and Neptune are also in Capricorn with the moon. So I'm shown some third house activities. Third house is also brothers and sisters. And wouldn't you know, today was the day I called my sister up this morning. I didn't even know the moon was in my third house. And she actually called back and we didn't have time to talk. But that's how it works. You focus on activities in your life. And the moon is so important because it is so close to the Earth. It doesn't matter that it's that small. It is just so close to the Earth. It is the most dramatic celestial body astrologically, and it is what I call the grand validator. So the first house would be appearance vibrations. The second house is finances, bills, money, and also usually what is important and what is not important in life. The third house is short trips, details, letters, brothers and sisters, and also any kind of communication, talking. It's usually if you're married or you're with a girl and she usually hits you up with a session where, you know, we need to talk. We need to discuss this. Dollars to donuts, the moon's hit her third house cusp and it's time to communicate. Doesn't matter that there's nothing wrong with the relationship. She's got a bug and she needs to communicate. The fourth house is home and residence. That's when you usually clean up the house. Think about moving, interior decoration, rearrange the furniture, dust, mop, laundry, wax. Think about the car. Anything to do with security, the mother, emotion, security, the home is the fourth house. The fifth house is family and children. And if you're a woman and you make love during a fifth house lunar transit and you happen to be ovulating, you're going to get pregnant. I will almost guarantee that you will conceive if you ovulate during a fifth house lunar transit and have a sexual intercourse affair at the same time. That's how you make babies. And you know what? If you have Jupiter in that fifth house with the moon, bingo. Sometimes it's funny, you don't even need to ovulate. It's almost like the Immaculate Conception. You'll find out you're pregnant and you go, Farley, you son of a gun, that worked. And the fifth house focuses on creative arts, on dancing, on aerobics, on family, father, children, and also fun, parties, laughing, celebrating. See, and when you start looking at the moon and you start seeing how it adheres, see, the one thing we don't cover in the transit forecast are the lunar transits because there's too many. There's thousands and thousands of lunar transits that go on. So the only way for you to really validate astrology is to get this moon stuff down. Now, when the moon goes into the sixth house, issues concerning work and service, criticism and analysis, but also health. Oftentimes I find myself catching the cold, the sniffles, having the sinus problem, or my body seems a little bit more weaker. The temple is more vulnerable. Temple of the soul is more vulnerable during that sixth house moon transits. Now, the first sixth houses is you. That's the self. And the top six houses are 7 to 12 is the world. So usually during the first six house transits, you are getting yourself together because you're getting ready to do some big energy with the planet, with the world. So when the moon crosses the descendant and goes into the seventh house, then you're less hermitized, and that's when you find yourself being more active with other people. And the seventh house is marriage, relationships, and partners. And almost always when the moon goes into the seventh house, you'll either find yourself with someone you really love, whether they're a friend, a lover, or whatever, or you'll find yourself lonely about not having that. The eighth house is the house of passion and intimacy. And whether you're in a relationship or not, and I don't even care if you have Virgo and Aquarius up the wall, you're going to still feel the horns when the moon goes into your eighth house. And that's why oftentimes if I'm out on a date with a woman, I'll look at her chart and I'll go, this is the first date, but the moon just entered her eighth house. And it's funny how aggressive that woman will be on the first date. The heck with morals. But oftentimes it is fun to note that some of your best romance and some of your best sexual experiences will occur during 8th house lunar transits. It also affects legacies, the supernatural, mysteries, psychic phenomena, and far out unexpected things or secrets, secret love affairs, stuff like that. The ninth house, when the moon enters the ninth house, almost always I find myself getting on a plane. That's travel. And it's so weird how I plan so many of my trips without even looking when the moon's in Gemini and Cancer, getting ready to go into my ninth house, which is travel, foreigners, foreign countries, school, college, higher education, higher philosophies and philosophy. Find yourself being philosophical too. When the moon enters the 10th house, career is the focus. For better or for worse, when that moon goes into the midheaven, you better believe that something's going on with career or major frustration if you don't have a job by that point. Moon in the 11th house, usually there's a focus with friends. You might not have any time for friends the rest of the month, but when the moon goes into the 11th, you find yourself making lots of phone calls, maybe a club meeting, an organization, or something to do with philanthropy or humanities. The moon in the 12th house is the time to clean up the garbage in your life. And when the moon enters the 12th house, you have to take a look at the entire lunar cycle to see what you haven't done during the month that needs to be done. So it's catch-up time. It's also deadline time. It's also a time when you'll hate yourself or be angry at yourself because you've fallen down in any other part of your life. So that 12th house moon can be when you decide to get stoned or drunk or wasted, or when you decide you want to meditate or be psychic to ground yourself and balance and center, or when you decide that you want to break the law because you're freaking out, become a criminal, institutionalize yourself, lose it, mentally insane, end up in a sanitarium. Those 12th house lunar transits, bonkers, finally hits your first house and you feel like, ah, it's over now. I can start over again. And that's a very important topic. That's a little secret that I use that helped me validate astrology, and I think it would work for all of you. The topic is called the transits of the moon through the 12 houses of life. And in case you wondered about the 12 houses, now you know that too.